With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rapid reaction. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. Rapid reaction time. Andrew Erickson and myself, Joey P. Joe P. Zapia, taking you through the ins and outs of everything that's gone on in the NFL on this glorious Monday afternoon. And if this is how the week is setting up, Andrew Erickson, this is going to be a very busy week for you and myself.
Yes, but I got a lot of sleep this weekend, even though we lost some time because of daylight savings, unfortunately. But the Tom Brady news got us warmed up for the week, got us prepared, and I'm ready for the frenzy. Let's go.
Well, let's start the frenzy with some running backs, and let's start with Chase Edmonds and James Conner. One is staying in Arizona. His name is James Conner, so we did get something right on the prediction show, which is nice because some things we did not get right, but we sounded good talking about them. James Conner's going to be back in Arizona. That's a big deal for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, Chase Edmonds is taking his game to Miami. So let's talk first about the guy in the new spot. How is Chase Edmonds' fantasy value going to be affected by his move to the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, I think that you don't see a big change in his terms of his fantasy value. I still think that he's going to be a piece of the backfield. I don't think that this is, it's Chase Edmonds' season. Like, he's going to take over the backfield. Like, he's never been a three-down guy. Like, he's never been the guy that they fed all the carries and touches to. He's, at worst, the receiving back out of the backfield. I think that's his strength and part of his game. You look at what he did before he got hurt. He was fourth in the NFL in receptions among running backs, and he averaged 4 catches and 5 targets per game. He was fantasy RB21 through the first 6 weeks of the season. Now, the one thing that does work in his favor is there's not a lot of competition in Miami right now. Miles Gaskin, Salvin Ahmed, like, he's better than both of those guys. And you look at the way that Miami's offensive line is set up, it's not great. It was PFF's 30th ranked run blocking line last season, but the Cardinals were 31st. And Chase Edmonds was still able to average 5 yards per carry last year behind a really bad offensive line. So he's used to running, you know, behind some of these inefficient offensive lines. So I do think that ultimately he does see work on early downs. He is the primary pass catching back. And that's honestly what you want the most, because when you look at what Miles Gaskin did last year, whenever Miles Gaskin had a good game, is because he caught touchdowns. He caught touchdowns. He caught passes out of the backfield from Tua. Tua has some familiarity with using running backs in the passing game. So I think that that's ultimately what you're looking at. I think that we're going to have a decent run scheme with Mike McDaniel there as the head coach. So I like Chase Edmonds a lot. I think that he was a value. I talked about him as a value in best ball drafts, you know, on our earlier show that we did, because I thought that wherever he goes, he's going to have that receiving kind of floor to fall back on. I see that here with him in Miami. So even if he's not necessarily, he's a bell cow back, I don't see that. When he does get opportunities, you know, I tweeted this out, but whenever he gets 11 touches per game, he's always going to be, you know, a top 15 running back more often than not. So I like him now, especially at his cost. I mean, he was going outside the top 30 running backs. I like him a lot in that range.
2-year, $12.6 million contract for Chase Edmonds. $6.1 million of that's going to be guaranteed. Let's talk about his old backfield mate here, who signed a deal, a 3-year deal, $21 million with the Arizona Cardinals. So James Conner is going to come back. You know, we touched on this on today's pod earlier, which is, you know, the respect for the guy who really went out there and showed you that he not only could he, you know, do the first and second down work, but he could do the passing down work as well. Conner really flourished there. And certainly the 18 touchdowns was nothing to sneeze at. So is it just status quo here for James Conner in this return?
Yeah, but I do think that the people might be hesitant to put him back into the top 12 running back conversation. They might talk about, oh, well, now, you know, Benjamin's going to take over the Chase Edmonds role, but that's not what we saw last year. You know, James Conner was the locked and loaded RB1 when Chase Edmonds wasn't available, when he was hurt. You look at the six games that Conner played, he averaged 26.2 fantasy points per game, 5.5 targets per game, while running around 61% of the Cardinals' dropback. So he was the all-encompassing three-down back for Arizona. And, I mean, they paid a pretty penny to get him back for a 3-year deal, $7 million per year. So that seems to me like, hey, that they're invested in James Conner. Obviously, they're going to keep guys around like Eno Benjamin, who I think is a nice dart throw to take, because we know James Conner and just running backs in general do get banged up. And this is an offense that you want parts of. Like, that's the one advantage you have James Conner over a Chase Edmonds in this scenario, where, you know, I feel pretty good about the Cardinals offense being really good next year. With Kyle, if Kyler Murray's the quarterback, I feel good about that offense. Miami is a wild card. Like, we don't know how good that will be, but that works okay with Chase Edmonds and he's a receiving back. So if Miami ends up, you know, their defense isn't very well, they're behind in a lot of games, you have that outlet with Chase Edmonds where, okay, if he doesn't get it done on the ground, he can get it through the air. And James Conner can also get it done through the air, as you alluded to as well. So I think, yeah, James Conner, he's in my back of my top 12. We'll see how they add to this backfield. And I do think Eno Benjamin is someone to keep an eye on, you know, in your dynasty leagues. If he's on the waiver wire, make sure you pick him up. Or in some of these late best ball drafts, I think that he's a guy to take a stab on.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds at the right price, I think, is intriguing, potentially with the Dolphins, as long as you're not overpaying. And then when it comes to Conner, I'm with you, man. I actually moved him up in my rankings after I was sure of where he was going, and now he's back in Arizona. And you know what? I'm going to put some respect on his name. It was a really good season for Conner. Durability issues, you could say that about every running back in the NFL nowadays. So it's all about the value you're getting these guys. Now, speaking of value, it looks like the Pittsburgh Steelers, of all teams, may have gotten the value of the century with Mitchell Trubisky. None of us saw this coming. This floored me. I got to tell you, Andrew, this one was the most surprising one of the day. So the Steelers agree to terms with Mitch Trubisky, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, now of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2-year contract for him. So I guess it's a new era here. What are your thoughts on Trubisky? I mean, certainly from an offensive line standpoint, there's going to be some questions still remaining for this team, but he does go into a situation with some weapons, great running back in Najee Harris, Deontay Johnson, certainly there too, a wonderful weapon. Claypool, we'll see if we can get out of there. But what are your thoughts on the new QB under center for Pittsburgh?
It's weird because I think that Mitchell Trubisky may be my most drafted Pittsburgh Steeler after it's all said and done. And I say that because you mentioned it, like the weapons. Like, I would argue that he's never had a better set of actual offensive personnel, not including the offensive line, than he's had in Pittsburgh right now. If he's a starting quarterback, you look at Najee Harris, Deontay Johnson, and the other names that you listed off, like, that's better than what he had in Chicago at his peak in 2018 and 2019, which was Allen Robinson, Tariq Cohen, Taylor Gabriel, David Montgomery. Like, he did not even ever have really a number two wide receiver that was worth a damn. So I do think that there is some fantasy upside with him. We saw him be the QB 11 in points per game in 2018. We know that he uses his legs. He averaged 30 rushing yards per game. And there's no reason to think that he's going to try to hold back. Like, he is playing for his NFL career and, like, bloodline left in professional football. Like, if he flames out with Pittsburgh, I don't know how many other teams are going to give him a shot. So I do think that he's going to ultimately win the job. I mean, Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins. I mean, we've seen enough of these guys where we know that they can't even handle a job. At least Trubisky has been a starter for multiple seasons at the NFL level. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they went out and got him because they thought, oh, like, this will push Mason Rudolph to take the job. It's like, they've seen Mason Rudolph for so long, and I think they already know the answer. And every time that he stepped in for Ben Roethlisberger because of an injury, it's always been kind of like, okay, well, here we go with Mason Rudolph again. Like, just leaving a lot to be desired. So I think it makes sense that they went out and got Trubisky in a market of quarterbacks that's just drying up very, very quickly. So I think that Trubisky, I put him in my, you know, he's quarterback 25 in my rankings. I mentioned on Twitter, he's like in the Daniel Jones tier where, okay, if he uses his legs, you know, he's got some good weapons. Like, you can kind of see it playing out. So I think that he's someone that I definitely want in two quarterback leagues, you know, to, you know, if he can unlock some of that fantasy juice with his legs, and someone that I think that is a quarterback 2 most likely or not. When it comes to the weapons on the other side, I think that's really the bigger conversation is, I mean, I got concerns about Deontay Johnson. And we talk about this all the time, Joe, with all recap shows, is draft guys on good offenses. I don't know if the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be a good offense, and I would lean towards them probably not being a good offense in 2022 just because of the way that the quarterback thing is set up. And I know people point to Ben Roethlisberger and, oh, well, he wasn't very good last year, but he understood how to work the offense, and he understands, you know, he's still a Hall of Fame quarterback. Now, you know, you look at Mitchell Trubisky, it's like, I mean, how much of an upgrade is he really? I mean, yeah, he can maybe throw the ball downfield a little bit more, but, you know, how does that complement Deontay Johnson necessarily? You know, the thing about Big Ben is we knew where the ball was going at all times. We knew it was going to Deontay. We knew it was going to Najee Harris because that's kind of what his, at that point of his career, that's what his physical body was allowing him to do, was throw it to those two guys. So Deontay Johnson at wide receiver 15 ADP on current best ball ADP, I'm kind of shaky about. You know, I don't like chasing after guys. Yes, he projects to be the target leader, but in a bad offense, you know, all the guys that I drafted with that profile last year, the DJ Moores, the Terry McLaurins, like that did not work out well. And that's a lesson I learned last year. And Deontay Johnson is kind of filling into that gap of player where I don't know if I like him at that price, even if he's going to see a boatload of targets, because number one, you know, how do you know Trubisky isn't going to favor Chase Claypool more in this offense? You know, Chase Claypool looks a lot more like Allen Robinson does than Deontay Johnson does. You know, Allen Robinson was in his best season with Trubisky, wide receiver 12 with 27% target share. He had 150 targets that season, but that also came with Tariq Cohen being the number two guy. Anthony Miller was the number three receiver on that team. So Robinson was wide receiver 12 with no competition whatsoever with Trubisky. Deontay Johnson has way more competition in Pittsburgh than Robinson ever had. And if wide receiver 12 is the ceiling you're shooting for with Deontay, like I'm probably going to be out on him unless his ADP, you know, it decreases substantially by the time we draft in the fall. So that's kind of the breakdown I have for the Steelers receivers. I mean, Claypool, I'd rather take a shot on him. He's wide receiver 41. He's cheap, you know, big body receiver. I like the touchdown upside with him. And then Najee, I don't think it impacts him too much. You know, he's a running back that's going to see a ton of volume. So I don't think Trubisky really moves the needle with him as much.
All right. So there's your quick take on the Pittsburgh Steelers new offense under Mitchell Trubisky. We got to get used to saying that. It's been 15 plus years or so since we've said anything else. So I've got to adjust to it. Let's talk about a wide receiver. So this just came over the wire not that long ago. We have a new wide receiver headed over to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it's Christian Kirk. Also, Brandon Scherff is going there as well, offensive guard. So Jacksonville getting out the pocketbook, spending a little bit. Nice to see them trying to surround Trevor Lawrence with actual NFL talent on the offensive side of the football. This is encouraging. So a four-year deal up to $84 million. So that's a pretty substantial amount for Christian Kirk. One might say an overpay for Christian Kirk, but what are your thoughts on not only him being united now with Trevor Lawrence, but also what does this mean here? Is Jacksonville done potentially with the spending spree?
Joe, it's what the kids call these days a major bag alert for Christian Kirk. I mean, he's now the third highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, and he's a slot receiver.
That's ludicrous, by the way. Can we just talk about how ludicrous that is? That's insane.
It is.
It's like someone said, yeah, Joe Pisapia makes Rich Eisen, you know, kind of contract. That's just nuts. That should not be anywhere near the same thing. But dude, what a crazy situation there. Why Christian Kirk? What is it about Christian Kirk that they see that they think he is worth that? I mean, I feel like that can't have been the market value. They must have overbid here, but why?
I think so. I mean, Trent Baalke, I mean, I'm not very high on him as a general manager. I mean, there were rumors that he wasn't even going to keep the job in Jacksonville. I mean, you look at I actually looked at some of his last free agent signings. The last big free agent he signed at wide receiver was Torrey Smith. He signed him to a four-year deal worth $50 million back in 2015. He got cut 2 years later. He didn't even finish the contract. Then it was Torrey Smith at, you know, age 26, similar to what Christian Kirk is now. Now, the different receivers, but the thing with Kirk is he's always been better out of the slot. And I think maybe that's what they look at. Okay, you know, honestly, I think what the Jaguars are doing is like, hey, they looked at Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. And they're like, okay, why was he good at Clemson? Like, what did he have his final year in college that made him good? He had ETN. Okay, perfect. They got ETN. They got the running back that they want. Okay, let's add Scherff. Make sure we have a solid run game. Let's get some protection. So I love the Scherff add from Washington. You know, get some protection for Trevor Lawrence. I think that's great. And his leading receiver his last year was Amari Rodgers. And he was a slot receiver. And last year, the slot receivers for the Jacksonville Jaguars sucked. They were terrible across the board. And it was Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault that kind of switched off playing in the slot. and they were both bottom 10 in terms of yards per route run, 1.3. Christian Kirk ranked 13th in that metric out of all slot receivers last season, 1.8 yards per route run. He had the second most receiving yards from the slot. I think they're just really looking for, okay, who is Trevor Lawrence's binky? Like, they need to have a go-to guy, a reliable receiver on the inside that when stuff starts to break down, who's he going to go to? It's Christian Kirk. So even though Christian Kirk is not a wide receiver one and he's getting paid like one, I think that they just are looking for, okay, who's a secure guy that we can rely on that's going to be there for Lawrence when he needs the ball? And I think that's Christian Kirk in this situation. Now, it's a massive overpay in terms of fantasy football. I mean, right now his ADP in best ball is in the 40s, which I think is a good price. I moved him up. I think that between wide receiver 35 is kind of probably where I'll settle in on him and my redraft rankings for Christian Kirk. We'll see if they add other receivers. But, I mean, part of the reason he was so good last year was because DeAndre Hopkins got hurt. And even at his peak when he was playing, you know, 21% target share, 13.8 fantasy points per game, that was wide receiver 29 on the season. So if he starts to get up into the, you know, top 24 conversation, I think that's probably out of my price range. But I think in a fantasy wide receiver three range, I think is appropriate for Kirk, especially if you think Trevor Lawrence. I know that you and I both, we are very high on Trevor Lawrence heading to next year. If he takes a step forward, you could see Kirk being the number one receiver there and definitely, you know, having the upside of a wide receiver too. But I'm just not willing to pay for that before the season kicks off.
All right, Braxton Berrios goes back to the Jets. He had some nice moments there towards the end of the season. But I know real quick, I want to talk about Will Disley signing a 3-year, $24 million deal with the Seattle Seahawks. Now, they have Noah Fant. They just acquired a trade. So what does this mean for Fant's value that Will Disley gets his 3-year deal?
It means it's just going to be tough for Noah Fant to return value. You know, the part of the reason we've been frustrated with Fant over the last couple of years is because he's been splitting time with another tight end, you know, Albert Okwuegbunam. And that's why we're so high on Albert O, because it's like, oh, he's free. Like, he's the tight end to own. But now in Seattle, you know, Will Disley prevented Gerald Everett from basically ever having any really productive games when they both played a lot of snaps. Now, the only games Everett ever really did anything, you'd look at the snaps and you realize, oh, wow, Will Disley wasn't running a lot of routes in that game. He wasn't playing. So if both guys are playing, you know, 50% snap share, then you have a big issue at your hand where Noah Fant is just not running enough routes to actually create any type of fantasy value. So that's just another knock on reason to lower Noah Fant in your rankings. And I think it does tell a little bit that they're bringing back a, you know, a primary run blocking tight end. It's going to be the ground and pound show once again in Seattle, I think.
There you have it. By the way, I know this is like the third show we've done today, it feels like, together, and you've said Albert O's full name on every single one, so you're just showing off now. That's all you're doing. You're just completely showing off, but thank goodness you're here to show off and make everybody around us smarter. Obviously, make sure you already have the Fantasy Pros News app on your phone to keep up with everything going on. Follow us on social media too, at Fantasy Pros on Twitter, on Instagram, all over the place, on TikTok as well. We're there. And of course, head over to fantasypros.com for all the latest long form reactions to all of these moves. And there's gonna be a whole lot more. We're just getting started. It's only Monday, baby. And Sunday night, we already got Tom Brady coming back. We got some running back signing. We got Christian Kirk getting overpaid. There's a lot going on here. And like I said, it's just the beginning. So make sure you're dialed into all of our content here at Fantasy Pros, including our YouTube channel too, youtube.com/fantasypros. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.